CliffCentral.com.
CliffCentral.com. It is a Wednesday morning. We are live. It is just after 7. Ben Karpinski is here with me. Hey, Ben.
Hello. Yep, still here.
How are the cats?
Cats are pretty good. Meowza seems to have found a new place to go to in the evening. Three doors down, there's two guys at Briar Lot. she goes there, and she makes absolutely – she's not doing it subtly either. She goes over there. She spends, like, a few hours, and then she sort of saunters home at, like, 8:30.
She's like those girls on Instagram who post, like, pretty much – as close to the line of being banned as possible, pictures of their asses and their titties, and but they don't get banned from Instagram, and they've probably got, you know, no shame.
Look, Meowza's had no shame to start with, but she's also getting quite old now, so she just like forgets things, like she just forgets how to sit down. So she'll spend 20 minutes walking around my chest at like four in the morning. Quite fun, but I mean that's the thing about having old animals and old people. You know, I always think of it like, I'm not very good around old people because I have nothing to relate with on them. And at the same time, I just know they're going to do something like dangerous. They're going to fall down or they're going to say right. The same thing four times. And like you have the same with pets. You can just see like she's old now. So it's like looking up for an old person.
Well, speaking of old, Ben and I often talk on WhatsApp, and I sent him a picture I found of Nas and Karin Buerta at their wedding. Wow. I mean, this is a hard picture to find because I remember these were published in a Huisgenoot magazine back in the 80s, and you can't find them anywhere on the internet. But the reason that they're difficult to find is because Karin wore a dress that was quite something. See, someone told her, Karin, jy het sulke mooi bene. You've got such beautiful legs. And she thought, oh, I've got an idea. I'll craft a wedding dress, or I'll get a designer to craft a wedding dress. Remember, this is the 80s. Huh? I mean, people were very creative.
Yeah, sure.
And they came up with this wedding dress, which I don't know if anybody can still remember back then. I remember my mother talking about it. And, you know, she was saying, whoa, you got to see this dress. And so Karin Buerta, Anas's wife's dress at their wedding, she wore a dress that was short in the front, but long at the back.
It was a bit like Nas's hairstyle at the time, to be frank.
Correct. It was like a mullet dress that matched his haircut. Quite something. And big, very frilly collar. I mean, it was really a work of art.
If David Bowie was Afrikaans for a weekend, he probably would have designed that.
What an incredible wedding dress.
Well, it was an incredible time. I mean, obviously, like Pretoria's most famous son at the time decided that he was going to commit himself to one woman. Lucky woman, of course. I mean, it must have been an absolute do. Like Loftus, I'm sure the reception was in Loftus somewhere.
Sure, of course, naturally. Yeah, they would have done that. Loftus would have, basically they would have got a crowd of probably more than you'd get for an actual Bulls game today, just for the wedding reception.
For sure. You know, I used to be involved with this friend of mine who created this thing called the Rugby Panel. And they used to impersonate Nas, and basically it was like a weekly show. I think it still happens now on Mix FM. Simon Hill, hugely talented voiceover artist and general funny guy.
Right.
And then there's this other guy he knows who does Nas impressions. So, I mean, I think he works for Outsurance or something. He's got a pretty like normal job, but like at night around the Braai, he's a Nas impersonator.
Right.
So like, for years, these guys... I think it was originally Darren Scott started it on Jacaranda, and then for years they had this weekly show. And I used to write a few episodes, and we made a full-length CD at one stage. And like the humor is just so timeless. You know, Nas was such an incredible character in this country. And obviously he's getting older now, and obviously there was a huge thing with Ashwin, so I'm sure he got canceled at some stage in the last year or two. But that guy was an absolute god back in the day in his circles.
Absolutely.
Like, remember, like back in those days, we didn't have the internet. There was no TV of any sort of like interest. So when the Blue Bulls ran onto that field, Nas was essentially Tom Brady.
Yeah, but that's like correct. That's exactly right. He was the biggest star in the country, without a doubt, at that time.
He was the Tiger Woods of Afrikaans people back in those days, essentially.
And now, you know, those of us who are not nearly as famous, we think we're being clever when we mock him and go, but on the other hand, Darren. And it's not like that is not his legacy.
No.
Oh my God. I went to the dentist yesterday.
I've been meaning to go, but this whole like I don't want to go near these public places. Did you feel dirty doing it?
No, so she cleared out. She does a teeth cleaning, you know, with that machine that squirts that high pressure water into your
No, I
teeth.
gotta get one of those.
Yes.
So it's really like an oral hygiene appointment, and then she just makes your teeth nice and clean. And I always walk out of there feeling great, but walk in with absolute fear and trepidation.
Yeah,
Why?
do they put the fluoride on? They always throw that one on, huh?
Yeah, she puts the fluoride on at the end, and then she kind of rinses out your mouth with that extremely cold water. You know, where it's so cold that it hurts your teeth. And then she says, like, does it still feel like you've got sand in your mouth? And I'm like, no, it's all clear. And then you leave there and you feel like such a Hollywood star, you know, like, fucking my teeth
Smiling
look
at
so,
everyone, yeah.
oh, it looks so great. And you just can't stop rolling your tongue over your teeth. They just feel so good. And I don't know how often you're meant to go. I go every 6 months.
I think you meant to go every
Oh.
6 months. I think if you're a Hollywood celebrity with all the things that you've got to put in your mouth to have a job, it's probably about 2 months. 1 month.
Excuse me, put what in your mouth, Ben?
Well, it's just that's how it happens. Yeah, they've got these impossible white smiles, but it's a very dirty business they're in.
Let me ask you this.
You are a wealth of knowledge this morning
Well,
about Hollywood. Awesome.
Ben has been. He's not shy to share his thoughts about Hollywood. So, Ben, to add to your conspiracy theory about Hollywood being a nest of pedophiles,
That's not a conspiracy, Gareth. It's true.
one of my friends in the US posted a thing about how Tom Hanks, who we mentioned earlier in the show, that's why it's on my mind, and his wife have become citizens of Greece. They've applied for Greek citizenship because in Greece, according to
Is
this, what?
it even? Sorry, carry on.
Now, what did you say? No,
He's already judging.
I was going to say something dirty, like, is it easy to molest boys there or something?
It is.
Oh.
It turns out it is. In Greece, they don't regard pedophilia as a crime. They regard it as a mental illness. So
You can always
this friend
find
of
the Greek.
mine, he's not an idiot, and he says no.
Oh, shame on both of you.
He says the whole reason Tom Hanks is moving to Greece is because he's a pedophile.
Well, Tom Hanks is like your favorite uncle.
I was listening to a Joe Rogan episode recently. I think he had that, I forget the guest now. And there's apparently this whole internet trend about making out that Tom Hanks is a pedophile. If you Google Tom Hanks pedophile, apparently there's like loads and loads of stories.
I don't even want to indulge the fact that
Well,
Forrest Gump is a pedophile.
who's the who's the guy from House of Cards?
Kevin Spacey.
Kevin Spacey. Everybody
Yeah,
thought
that's
he was
true.
such a upfront, decent guy. Didn't he have those charges against him? And he's been
No,
out.
well, he's enjoyed all of these allegations because he really is cuckoo.
Yeah, but he also really loves young boys. I mean, I think he's made it
Yeah.
very clear. But look, I don't want to go down this rabbit hole because when I'm on the show, suddenly there's pedo jokes, and it's not actually who I am. But did you know
You don't say. Do you hate this connotation, Ben?
Look, I want to turn it down just a little bit. 30 years since that fairy tale movie Pretty Woman came out.
Oh, wow.
30 years. If you don't feel old already. And it's quite amazing how, like, basically it's a lovely story, but it involves a wanker banker and a ginger mohosha. And that has become one of the most iconic movies of our life
Yeah, it's true.
on the premise.
It was
It
also a
just shows
product.
how.
It was a product of its time.
Ben, I don't want you to write IMDb reviews and descriptions for movies. You just ruined Pretty Woman in 5 seconds.
In fact, I think Ben could write the most perfect reviews since the great Barry Ronger, because
A wanker banker and a ginger mahosh.
yeah.
Yeah, but guys, you know, I think it was about 2 weeks ago, Gord was gushing about his times he used to spend with Big Bazzer in the cinema. I really think that Gord has missed an absolute trick when it comes to, like he started that 1 hour voice note podcast thing. He should really have just committed completely to the movie reviews because he's sitting on his ass at home now. And Gord, if you are listening, it's obviously this is no slight. This is just you fulfilling your
He's not listening.
potential.
He wakes up at 12.
Fair point. But like he could be watching a movie a day, which he probably is, It probably is. And he could have the most insanely amazing reviews. I mean, that would be Gord at his absolute funniest.
Yeah, he could. He's a great writer. I mean, he really is a terrific writer.
But he's also a good talker, and he sees things in a beautiful way. Like, I would love to hear Gord, for a 30-year reunion, review Pretty Woman. That would be such an amazing piece of content.
And we would promote it for him. I mean, like, I'd promote his reviews.
So what we need to do is basically stalk him on social media and say, Gord, do movie reviews. Mm. And just every time you see Gord in life, just bombard him with this. Why aren't you doing movie reviews, Gord?
Yeah, but Gord is the sort of guy who you need to shame into doing things because he's lazy, right?
Exactly. Right.
So I mean, if you shame him and you remind him the reason that you're not getting this done is because you're lazy, then he'll be forced to do it because he'll be too humiliated to not do it.
Yeah. But speaking of Gord, have you heard about this amazingly fat Alaskan polar bear?
No. What? Don't. Okay, you know what? He calls himself a bear, so fine, make that segue.
There's an actual polar bear in Alaska. His name is Fat Albert, and he weighs 679 kilograms. He is, like, if this was a work meeting, I would share the screen right now. He is the fattest polar bear, but he's so great. And the reason he's so fat is that the villagers, what they do is, obviously, in Alaska, where there's nothing to do other than try to kill animals and stay warm. But what they do is that they, when they get a big whale, and they create an offering to the polar bears in the area. So if they get the polar bears fat on blubber and whale carcasses, then the polar bears won't come into the village and eat their children. So all of these polar bears.
Good strategy so far.
All of these polar bears have worked out. So all they do is that they see, like, the fishing boats go in and out, and they see these guys with their harpoons or whatever, and they literally sit in their arse, and then they just fed blubber. And this one is now, he is so big. Fat Albert, actual.
I'm looking at a picture now. If you type in Fat Albert polar bear on your Google search, it'll come up straight away. This is an enormous fat bear.
But look how fat he looks. He looks so fat that he doesn't even look mean anymore.
No, he looks cuddly.
He looks like a nice guy.
Yeah, he looks like a nice guy. Now, these are killers. I mean, famously, these animals do actually come into the village and eat your children, right?
Yeah, they're hardcore. And because they're white, they're quite well camouflaged in the snow.
Yes, the snow and the ice. And this one, Fat Albert, is so fat and also, I have to say, lazy, because you can see he hasn't been for a swim for a long time. He's sort of turning a bit brown.
Yes.
You know, he's no longer
fat
white.
Fat Albert, he has like this look of desperation, in my opinion. Just looks like he does not know what to do.
Yeah, I think he's got more of a look of gout than anything else. But I mean, like, I bet Albert, because, you know, like, obviously there's different seasons. So when things get really, really cold in Alaska, then everything freezes over. And what the polar bears do is they need to find little gaps in the ice, and then they try to eat seals. Mm-hmm. But Fat Albert's going to fall right through the ice this coming winter.
Yeah, and if you carry on looking, you'll see there are polar bears who get very thin, and then they look frightening. They look like wolverines when they're thin, because, you know, they've got the shape of a bear, but then they get quite skeletal, and their paws are enormous and their heads are enormous, but their bodies are quite small, so they look like a werewolf, basically.
Well, they essentially look like Bruce Fordyce when it goes really bad, and you can attribute that to global warming,
but with much bigger hands and feet than Bruce Fordyce. And then Fat Albert is the opposite extreme, this overweight polar bear. But I do like this story, because this is, you know, it shows you that polar bears also struggle with their weight.
Yeah.
Just the human struggle.
What, but should it make someone feel bad this morning as they jump onto the scale?
Yes.
But also, Gareth, it's a decent reference going back to our politicians in the first hour. What if we just make them fat? You know, because you were saying, like Brassas saw the whole loophole.
I'll tell you why that's a bad idea. Here's my first piece of evidence. Exhibit A, Kulubusa Zuma. Being fat didn't stop him from being greedy.
Yeah, fair. But I mean, like, basically, Brassas and this Alaskan village are exactly the same. Just give them meat packs.
Yes.
And then you can go about your merry way.
Yeah. I think that there may be some, you know, at least they'll be lazy and won't want to get up and actually go out and do the corruption. So that might be an argument. But I somehow think, you know, Kulubuse was never small. And in fact, I wouldn't be surprised if his mother pushed him out and he was already that size.
You used the word push like it was easy.
No, it must have been horrible for her. That poor lady.
Oh, what would you say, Ben?
I would say she endured a pretty long pregnancy.
Kulu, he was stealing money when he was already the size of three people. And he didn't seem to have any problem getting into that SLS Mercedes of his with the gullwing doors. Do you remember that picture? And he looked like he looked like Fat Albert.
He did. So I don't think it was a day-to-day car. You know that he eventually ended up on a quad bike because it was just easier for him. He would be cruising around on that quad bike all the time in Kandla.
Apparently that thing's engine took major strain as well.
Guys.
Oh, my God. Fat Albert the polar bear. You have to go and look at this. It'll make your day.
Yeah, I just thought it can't be a Wednesday without a good bear story.
Yeah. No, I like that. Thank you.
Thank you for continuing the theme.
Right.
So in other news, I haven't actually spotted this story up until now, but it's going to be quite an interesting case to follow in South Africa because it's breaking new ground. There is a teenager and her family here in Johannesburg who are taking Facebook to court because they are trying to fight for the identity of someone who has been harassing her online and sending her death and rape threats. And you think, well, actually, what would happen if Facebook now opened up its doors to going, oh, right, okay, so all of the nasty things people have been saying about you, yeah, sure, we'll help you figure out who the true identity is. But evidently, this family has money and time on their hands. But yesterday, there was just a development in the case. So a court hearing in which the teenager is seeking an order against Facebook Incorporated to reveal the identity of this anonymous poster. Threatened her with gang rape and murder. Oh. It was adjourned yesterday. So it happened virtually over Microsoft Teams. But long story short, she's 13 years old. Yeah. I just can't believe that as well. The 13-year-old, her family and her lawyers have been asking for Facebook to help them figure out who this is. She says that harassment started on Instagram, also owned by Facebook,
yeah.
And it was a profile created with a variety of names. There were a couple of different profiles that were created, but she noticed a common thread in these accounts. They all included the name Killer with random numbers. And also in all of these various profiles, they were bringing up people in her life and specifically people who she knows from school. So she feels like this is definitely someone who she knows personally. And that is why she's particularly worried about this.
First of all, the thing that strikes me is that you're always talking about the killer and this would be your worst nightmare, right?
Mm-hmm.
You'd be frightened and you're in your 20s. Imagine being a 13-year-old and you're getting these threats. It's horrible.
But it's a very murky thing. I know we've spoken about this before. Like once you go onto social media, you don't really have rights because you can just not use it. But then like this kind of follows you and there's a very different kind of thing.
Well,
you know, we often hear stories of how Pornhub do amazing things and like this whole, oh, yeah, we're all in lockdown. Pornhub Gold or whatever is for free.
Yeah.
But, you know, Pornhub is one of the most horrible places on the internet because anybody can upload stuff into Pornhub, right? So there's all kinds of apparently like rape videos and revenge porn, all this kind of stuff. And it goes into Pornhub. And then what happens is these girls then say to Pornhub, like, there's this video, I've got this, I did not consent to this. It's all over Pornhub. It's getting millions of views. Please take it down. And all they do is go, well, it's getting millions of views. So that's kind of our business. So we actually don't care. And then suddenly it becomes a hub of absolute like discrimination, shame, embarrassment, and it becomes an absolute like torture chamber for these people.
Can I just check? I don't think any of us are particularly in favor of any of these global media giants doing this to people. But surely in this case, we're all agreed that Facebook should hand over information that will lead to the identification of this person and that this 13-year-old girl should be able to take him to court.
Right. I think their fear, and which is why they're still strongly opposing this, is that once the stores open, everything, well, not everything, but a lot of what they have in their closet that they're hiding will come out.
Good. I think that it's about time that these guys who've made hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars from all the people who come onto their platforms. It's about time they take responsibility. And I know I'm a free speech advocate. People should be allowed to post things, and you should even be allowed to post things anonymously. But when you start threatening people's lives, the game changes.
Yeah, I mean,
the reason why I said that shit.
You're not just throwing a bit of shade here. You are terrorizing a 13-year-old girl that could scar her for life and obviously make her an utter recluse for what?
Yeah, that's beyond bullying. I mean, you're actually threatening to kill someone and to do disgusting things to them. Mm. And to my mind, there's just no amount of freedom of speech that covers that. That's a threat. That's a direct threat. That's promising that violence is going to occur. And whoever this asshole is who's doing this is probably probably some boy who was at school with her, or maybe even another girl, because we know
that's the thing.
We know that girls, most of the girls who are bullied online are bullied by other girls, right? And bullying is much, much bigger a problem for girls on social media than it is for boys, because boys usually will go out into the playground and actually fight each other. Girls won't.
In her affidavit, she's actually saying that she's been too scared to return to school. She's too afraid to be left alone at home, and she's struggling to eat and sleep. But the reason why I say this family must clearly have a lot of time is one thing, but a lot of money as well, is because since May that this has been going on, they had to, in order to serve her court application to Facebook, they had to get permission of a local judge for what they call substitute service and hire a lawyer in California,
right,
in the US, to be able to hand deliver documents to Facebook at their Sacramento offices. That is a lot of money getting thrown at this. So this is not just petty bullying for teenagers.
Yeah, they must find this piece of shit and they must be accountable. Like the logistics around this, the hassle, the unnecessary hurt, it's just sickening.
Again, I mean, there's a theme growing this morning, is accountability. We would all just like to see in the world a little more accountability. I almost wish there were polar bears roaming around the world, just eating people who are not accountable for themselves.
Yeah.
Everyone who just has a fat Albert.
Yeah. But I mean, these polar bears must be hungry. They must be seeking out any greedy people who are not accountable for themselves.
Yes, Gareth, they must be hungry, but they must be fair.
Yeah. No, they must they must have a
I think chip. That's asking a lot for polar bears.
Hungry but fair.
I'm just saying.
Oh my God, what a funny.
Well, yeah, as it stands, the teenager just wants a protection order and to lay criminal charges against the person who's posting these threats.
Maybe Facebook should actually, like in America, if you're a sex offender, you need to go and announce it to your neighbors. Yeah. Maybe Facebook should just run ads going, this person is an absolute gobshite, sex offender, threatening of, and then it becomes known, and that person will never be allowed to be on social media again.
Absolutely. I completely agree. Approved.
Cool.
Okay, thanks. So that was done. So Ben, thanks for joining us this morning, and I hope you'll have a very lovely day going forward.
I shall, Gareth. Today I am filming the episode 3 of a pregnant couple and their journey to the next baby. I'm filming camping power tools.
You're filming a pregnancy journey?
Yeah, I'm doing... You remember I did that journey of my fat friend Hobbo?
Yes.
Well, I'm doing a similar kind of series around a couple who are going to have the second child. It's literally... The series is called Pregnant.
Jesus.
Oh.
All right. Well, you're full of surprises, Ben.
I'm learning things all the time. Yeah. So amazing. That's my day. And another workout later. Happy days.
All right. You have a happy day, Ben.
All right, guys.
Very nice to see you. There's Ben Karpinski joining us this morning. It's always good to catch up with him, and loads of comments from people. How much they love Ben.
Did you pick that up? Ben is going to exercise.
Yeah, I got to do some of that today. I skipped it for the last 2 days, and I feel like a fat slob. Apparently, polar bear fur is translucent, not white. Huh. That's pretty amazing. It's not
that
white.
Such a...
Yeah. Thin polar bears look like they are on tick in the plane, my brew. That's from Greg. Thank you, Greg. Very, very good. Ben, you legend. Tell us where to start with the training that you've been doing. Thank you, mate. Karpinski for president. What you need to do is you need to go and check Ben's social media if you want to see what his training regime is. I thought oral hygiene I went to the dentist yesterday. I thought oral hygiene is when you wear a condom for a blowjob. That's from Carl. Carl's obviously never been to the dentist. It's so nice to have Ben on for a change instead of Gord, says Michelle. Huh. Interesting. And then this one, nice to hear Ben's voice again, but where the hell is Gord? It's Wednesday, man. That's from Mandy. Well, Mandy, as we explained, you know, you can't always get what you want, but sometimes you get what you need. Okay, let's talk to Mark Sham. Now, Mark Sham, in case you don't know, I'll tell you, he's a passionate man. He gets into everything that he gets involved in 100%. If it isn't suits and sneakers, as the founder, he's passionate about entrepreneurship, education, even speaking. And most recently, he's become, as many of us have during lockdown, very passionate about this SA Citizens Unite. Essentially, it's a call to action. Simple message, if you don't like where South Africa is right now, then send the president a tweet with a hashtag or email him, but use the Citizens Unite, SA Citizens Unite, as the hashtag to connect all the tweets. Tell him what change you want. Tweet him all day. Be heard. I just don't know if this guy's listening. How are you, Mark?
I'm well. How are you?
Nice to see you, dude. What's been happening?
Yeah, it's been I'm learning more and more that I hate politics. It just seems to impact every facet of my life.
Yeah, and not in a positive way, right? I mean, no one's ever gone, you know, what I wanted in my life was more politics and more politicians. And then they've have been happy from that point on. Never.
Yeah, yeah, you're spot on. I mean, actually, you know, I watched some of your stuff earlier in lockdown, Gareth, to be honest with you. I watched the discussion that you had with that activist, not to rehash old wounds.
I don't know. I don't have the wounds, by the way. He does.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, for everyone else.
No.
All the triggered trolls on the internet. But I think, you know, I'm just like you. I'm just a concerned citizen. I just don't like where things are at. And it isn't my nature to sit around and just moan about it, but then do nothing. So, Gareth, this is where I find myself.
Yeah, and you are, you know, you're utilizing the tools that you have, and you have certain skills and talents, and that's what you're putting to work here. Now, I'm not going to be one of those interviewers who says to you, ah, this isn't going to work, and you're wasting your time, because that's what all of them have said to you so far, right? Oh, why are you bothering with this? Nothing's going to happen, because that's what South Africans do. We all go, well, because I don't feel empowered, I'm going to try and make other people not feel empowered. It seems like there's a South Africanism in the way we break each other down, and we never manage to stand together. Now, if SA Citizens Unite means anything, it means let's all stop that shit and find a reason to actually rally together for a cause that we all believe in. We have a country that we have to save from certain death.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. I think it's a few things. So the campaign where I try to get people to send an email to the president was just one thing. And actually, what I learned over time is that the email wasn't actually for the president. It was for people to use as a tool to practice taking a step against apathy.
Right.
You know, well, the people that will tell you, well,
this
that
is,
the
this
people
is
will
why
spend you, more time.
You brought up that interview I did with Reedy Tlabi and that other guy. And the reason that they had me on was because I'd written an open letter to the president. By the way, that was 2 weeks into lockdown when everybody else was being a good, obedient citizen and doing exactly what the president told them to. And I was saying, guys, there's just a warning bell going off here. This is going to impact on our liberties. This is going to impact on the economy. And everybody thought I was being an asshole. And you wrote an open letter similarly. And the more of us that do this, the better. I saw Herman Mashaba's written one, which is getting huge traction on the internet at the moment. I feel like the zeitgeist, the feel in the community in South Africa generally, is very much on the side of people like you and Herman Mashaba.
So that open letter really actually impacted me because, you know, I follow your stuff quite closely. And I had a slightly different take in that I was kind of just observing your letter did impact me. And then I started just writing a lot of stuff on my public page on Facebook, which got quite a bit of traction. Almost immediately after what you wrote, I started thinking about the lockdown just logically, and it stopped making sense to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, even then people didn't like it. And I get why people, we have to be on one side or the other. We can't say this virus is lethal, but the lockdown doesn't make sense. You almost have to pick a side. And you're wrong. If you just say, well, the virus is deadly, but, you know, we should also end lockdown, well, then people don't seem to have that discerning nature.
No, they're unable to put the two together. Like, that, you can't have two ideas in your head at the same time.
Yeah. And so anyways, I think this for me is just simple. I don't like where South Africa is at by the numbers. I think we tend to get very emotional. And some of the things that I really like that you do is that you will attack things from a factual perspective. So if someone comes up right now and says to me, you're a racist for saying that we are in an abusive relationship with the ANC, I'll say, well, maybe that's your perspective, but my perspective is based on numbers, facts, and figures. For example, is it a good or bad thing that unemployment was at 20% or 22% in 2008 after the financial crisis, and now it's at 30% before COVID? You tell me, good or bad. How about crime rates going up?
No,
over
this is an argument I often have with people, is they prioritize their feelings over what's actually happening. And not only is that self-harming, because it means that you're going to make decisions based on your feelings. And remember, you could wake up in the morning and you might not be feeling great because you've got a headache. And you make decisions on that day, which inevitably lead you in the wrong direction just because you had a headache. You're trusting your feelings. Now, don't get me wrong. You should trust your feelings. Everybody has a gut instinct, and sometimes that gut instinct helps, and sometimes it harms and hinders. But to trust that, to go with that flow, rather than actually looking at what information there is, and this information is available to everybody, by the way. You can go onto government websites. You can see what the transmission rates are, what the active cases are, but no one's paying attention to that. They just eat up whatever fear-mongering they read on the internet, and usually what they see on television, because they're too lazy to even bother to go and look at the actual numbers. Now, you either have facts and feelings, which is an acceptable place to be, or you just go with feelings, which is not acceptable. And going with facts is also a little bit dangerous, but certainly going with your feelings and how you feel about something is only important to you.
Yeah, I mean, you're spot on. I couldn't have said it better. And I think there's two sides to it. You and I could probably spend an hour talking about why we are collectively frustrated and some of the things that are wrong and how they've come about. But then the other side of the hashtag SA Citizens Unite is to get people out of that apathetic state where they moan and do nothing and do something. So when I said to people, please, will you just take a little bit of time to write to the president? I was half trying to do it to get other people to practice a vote against apathy, get up and do something. Now, today it might be write an email to the president. And maybe he reads it and maybe he doesn't. It's not the point. Mm. The point is that's the little, people always say, well, what could I do? Well, that's something that you could do. So I'm trying to find little campaigns and big campaigns that people can at least, when people go, well, I don't know what to do. Because I think of the flip side that people don't, it's fair to appreciate that people get frustrated because as one person, it is difficult. What do you actually do?
Yeah.
But when you kind of come together in real numbers, well, I think it does change things. At least that's the shot.
I said at the beginning of this that I'm not going to do what probably every other interviewer you've spoken to about your campaign in the last while has done, and that is knock it down and say it's not going to work because they can't wait to do that. But you need to understand also, and this is a powerful piece of, you talk about the numbers. It's not a majority of people who ever get things done. A majority of people usually are a bunch of people who are just going with the flow. I mean, what happened in Germany in the 1930s was a minority of people who were hugely passionate about the Nazis, right? And they took over that whole country. Most Germans didn't even know who Hitler was until he was already chancellor. It's not a majority of people in the world who lead the narrative on what's going on in America and leftist politics there. It's a small minority of people. It's never a majority of people on Twitter who are spewing hatred and vitriol and doxing people. It's always a small minority. A minority can be tremendously powerful. So if you get enough critical mass, and that might be 20 people, it might be 100 people, it doesn't need to be 20 million people. That's enough to get things moving. And if you can get 10 people to write letters to Cyril, actually sit down and articulate their position. Like, we do live in a country of apathetic people. They complain. They'll complain to each other in the most effortless way possible. In other words, you'll stand at a braai and you'll say to your friends, oh, I can't believe this government, the corruption. If you ask them to actually write something down, you're never going to get a reply.
Yeah.
And the
most amazing part to me is that the people who would tell me that it's not going to work spent the same amount of energy telling me it's not going to work.
Correct.
Rather than just, it's like, why don't you rather just go to bed at night, sleep peacefully knowing you did something rather than nothing. But to your point around history, and I know how much you love your history, that is a really valid point. I'm just, you know, the message I'm trying to get across to people constantly, and that's why I appreciate you giving a little bit of airtime to it, is we just, let's be aware of what the problems are. I'm trying to give a balanced view on these things. I'm not actually trying to character assassinate the ANC or government at large. I just keep telling people, I have a specific disdain for the actions and the track record. That's what I'm going
Correct.
On. And if you feel the same, let's do something about it. And the campaigns that we put forward don't even have to be ours. So if Gareth Cliff comes out tomorrow, for example, I've seen you share a few things around lift the ban. That is something I would absolutely support. It doesn't have to be mine. I'm simply saying, look, Gareth is saying something around lift the ban. Here's the reasons why he's saying it. We should jump behind that.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to act as that proxy.
Well, dude, I think that as I said earlier, the zeitgeist is with you. I think that most people are sick to death of seeing bad decisions made on their behalf that affect their lives in adverse ways. We're all just trying to make a living. We're all trying to make our lives better, the lives of our children, our family, and our friends better. It doesn't seem like it's that much of an ask for people to join a movement that will help them achieve that. If you are apathetic and you don't care about this stuff, or you're listening to Mark now going, yeah, let's let the other people fight. You cannot have a share in the future if that's how you feel. And you actually just have to accept whatever comes your way.
And we now live in a world where we have all these like available technologies at our disposal. I was listening to a little bit of your show before, right?
No.
It's a double-edged sword in terms of what you can do with Facebook. But the reality is that we can use it as a tool. We could rally it. You can't press the share button on a TV screen. But when Gareth puts out a letter and he says, I don't like this, and you resonate with it, you can add your voice to it.
Well, if you look how stupidly people share stuff that doesn't matter, like you'll share, you know, your opinion about Jada and Will Smith, but you won't share your opinion about your own state of being in your own country at a time where we need to hear your voice. What kind of a wastrel are you that you're sitting around and jumping in on conversations that absolutely do not affect you? Free Britney, Will and Jada, Donald Trump. These are things that don't affect you and I on a daily basis nearly as much as what's going on in South Africa right now. And you've got a bloody cheek to be able to press that share button on that bullshit and not on the stuff that matters.
So exactly right. I echo your sentiment exactly. And part of what I've tried to do with the SA Citizens Unite campaign is I see it as my responsibility to educate people on these matters equally.
Okay.
So you will hear me talk about the government. You will hear me frequently say, I don't like this or I don't like that. And then you will almost always hear me flip around and say, well, I also think that we have apathy in enormous amounts, mm-hmm. or I think that we attack people's characters instead of attacking their actions, or it's okay to just want better for your life. Like, how crazy is it that you and I get attacked for when we're saying, not I want white South Africans' lives to be better, I want all South Africans' lives to be better. No, how can you say things like that? Like, it's almost like we've got the South Africanism that you speak about. We're not allowed to want better. It's madness to me.
Well, I think it's the way people have been raised. I think it's the trauma of our past, which is not to be, you know, smirked at. It's a serious thing. But if we don't break out of this at some point, we're always going to be victims. And if you're always victims, you can never claim the crown. You can never make your life better. You will always be under someone's foot. Because once a victim, always a victim.
Yeah, it's exactly right. So this is where I'm at. You know, if I were to leave the message with people, it's like, I'm just a South African citizen.
What would be the best case scenario for action coming out of this? What would you like to see?
So I've been giving it a deep thought. I think there are a lot of movements happening simultaneously, as you pointed out. There are people organizing marches. There are people doing all these things. I think the march is great. But I think that the one march isn't going to solve it. So all I know is that South Africans have to get their hands dirty in a variety of ways. Because to your point, if you want to live here in 5, 10, 20 years' time, it's more the apathetic nature that I want to educate people against than anything. So I don't care what you do, do something. March, yeah. Withhold your tax if you really want to, join other people's campaign. Do whatever, just do something. Don't do nothing. And I think what happens with free market principles is that eventually we find good enough ideas and we run toward them. And good ideas will come out.
Yeah,
What do you think, Gareth? I'd love to hear. How do you think people should take action? Because this is the thing that I've been rolling around in my head.
I'll tell you what I can't do is I've never been a protester. Okay, I'm not going to go out onto the streets and hold up a placard. I think that is just such a waste of time. There've got to be better ways of doing things in 2020, and I do believe that civil disobedience is one of those things. I mean, we've proven it. We did it with the e-tolls. Do you remember? People in this country can do the right thing, and we can get government to listen, and we can say, fuck you, and they have to listen because we just stopped paying for the e-tolls. We did that. We brought the whole system to its knees. To date, they've been unable to prosecute one of us, because if they prosecute one of us, we all go to jail and we all go to court with them. And therefore, e-tolls is probably the best example of when these things work. Withhold your money, withhold your support, and make it clear that you have a point of view. If every South African just goes and in a tweet, it's what, 240 characters? Just go and share your actual opinion. Don't retweet someone else. Don't say something that sounds like you might be on either side. Actually put your stake in the ground and say, this is what I believe. I think the ANC are fabulous, and I'm backing them 100%. And everything they've done during lockdown and to combat coronavirus has been marvelous, and I love them. Say that. I dare you. And if you don't have the balls to say that because you don't believe that, then say the opposite. Say that you think it's been a colossal clusterfuck from day one, and you believe it's time for us to have new leaders because these ones are not fitting the bill. But have the balls to say it. Don't keep expecting Mark Sham to say it or Herman Mashaba.
So I really believe in groundswells, especially with technology. For the first time in history, you put out that perspective and other people share your perspective. You start to create this sentiment and this opinion shift. And I think that's to your point, what's happening already. That's why people are getting so frustrated. It's because for the first time we can share our voices quite openly, and then that impacts other people. And the masses eventually aren't stupid. The message gets across. So I agree. If for nothing else, put your point across. Say how you feel. That would be great. But then I would challenge you one further. Just pick something. I think, and I sound like an idealist, do something connected to the moan. In other words, if that connected something is you feed someone for the day, I don't care what it is. It's about you practicing a vote against apathy. Apathy just means I'm going to moan, but I'm going to do nothing. Stop fucking doing nothing. The end.
All right. So here are some of the points that you've listed in your video. Number one, the economy has been stagnant for a decade. South Africans are poorer now than they were 10 years ago. All of us. Number two, the very stats that the government provides tells us crime levels are up in almost every sector, including murder, gender-based violence, rape, and hijackings. So we're also less safe. We're poorer, we're less safe. Unemployment has gone from 22% to 30%. You know, 22% back in 2008. Now it's 30%. So we also have less jobs and less opportunities. So young people are being churned out of places like university, which we realize like education's important. People are trying to get their kids into schools and universities where they can improve their lives. But then no one's thinking about what happens after that, because sure, you come out of university, you've got a degree. Then what? You can't go with a degree and sit under a tree and money just lands in your lap. You have to find a job, and there are less jobs than there were 10 years ago. So no jobs, no money, no security. Irregular government expenditure was 62 billion rand in the last fiscal year. This is what you said. That's 11 billion up from the year before. This is people stealing what little money there is. And if you think that's okay, you're obviously one of the people on the receiving end, which means you should go to jail.
And then probably my favorite, and I mean, you have to be half a human being to feel for the fact that we create a COVID relief fund and then people steal from that fund. So you don't have to be a genius to drive around lately and just see the desperation in people. For me, maybe I'm looking for it. But I swear to God, it's like people, when you stop at a traffic light, people are like, please, I'll do anything for it. Just, I need to eat. There's a desperation.
Yeah.
You have stolen from those people. I mean, come on, guys. Why are we even having this discussion? It's madness to me.
All right. Listen, good luck, man.
I really appreciate your help, just even in the form of this bit of airtime. And I'd love to have you on the return leg, but I'll chat to you about that privately. I just think the more people get educated, the better. Thanks so much, Kyle.
All right, Mark. Very good. Mark Sham, everybody. You can go to hashtag SA Citizens Unite to find out more. And you can follow him on all his social media handles. Mark Sham, MarkSham. And you can find out more by following him. I'm just pleased to see, like, you know, someone else is feeling this way. And I know that there are lots of us who feel this way. You don't have to wait for someone famous or important or rich or powerful to start doing these things. You do it yourself. I mean, my God, if you don't believe you're strong enough to stand up for what you believe in, you're definitely not strong enough to have a nice life. Really? Like, don't you want a nice life? Mm-hmm. Don't you want to feel like you deserve something? Your children deserve something. Your friends deserve something. You need to have something to wake up for in the morning. Well, if you don't think you deserve that, then you obviously also don't think you have a right to an opinion. And you're probably the kind of person who then goes around telling other people they don't have a right to their opinion, because that's easier than actually developing your own. Bullshit. Come on. Grow a pair. Seriously. Let's all make this place a little bit better. Isn't there a song in that, Sia?
There's so many. I was going to start with that.
Yeah, sure.
But I didn't want to take away from the moment. No, that is good. That's powerful and that's true.
It's unbelievable. All right, so we've got lots of good things happening this week. I must remind you that we have our TV show this evening, which you need to schedule an alarm for on your phone, because it doesn't help if you watch it on the repeats. We need the ratings. You see, if I don't give them ratings, then they're going to say, oh, you see, the show's not successful. And they don't count YouTube views. They don't count any of that stuff. So I need live eyes watching the show. And you don't know whether they're picking up that data from you. So please, if you support this show, then you need to just, even if you only log on for the first 15 minutes and you don't enjoy it, you watch the first 15 minutes. I don't care. Just don't tell anyone, all right? I won't tell anyone either.
Right.
Just watch the first 15 minutes of my fucking show tonight, please.
Tonight.
Otherwise, my mother's going to be eating dog food one day, because I'm probably going to, you know, support her. So if you don't mind, just watch the show. It's on ENCA tonight at half past eight.
And I'll dry up because I won't afford moisturizer, please.
Yes, and Sia will dry out and he won't be able to buy his moisturizer. And, you know, all the people that you love, we're going to have to stop all of it. I mean, I have to sell Carl for meat. Mm. You know, my dog, I'll have to I'll have to cook him to eat him if you don't watch my show. So it's really important that you do. Not just for me, but for all the people I've already mentioned and dogs.
Yes, and I'll have no fat to lose like Fat Albert. I'm already a size minus 7.
Sia is already emaciated. He cannot afford to lose a kilogram. If Sia dies, it's on you.
We can talk about the great guests we have. Maybe that will make people watch.
Yes, all right. So I'll tell you why you should watch. Forget about all that bullshit. So here's the real stuff. The real reason you should watch is we've got Advocate Dalim Pofu, who, as you know, I have a great relationship with. He was my lawyer against Mnet in that famous case which we won. He's also the former national chairperson of the EFF, so he has very strong political views. They run completely counter to my own, but I respect the man. And part of this show is also showing people that you can disagree with people and still get along with them and respect them. Herman Mashaba, who we just mentioned with Mark Sham, he's definitely the trending topic of the last 2 weeks. Herman Mashaba is all over social media at the moment with his open letter to government. He's been very critical of Cyril Ramaphosa, and both of them in the show tonight, you'll see, they do not hold back. We're joined by one of the protesters, Ashley from Cape Town, who was taken out with water cannons and forced they were forced to abandon their protest in Cape Town because of police brutality. That's what it is, short and simple. And Lord Peter Hain, who is well known to audiences of cliffcentral.com, he's been on the show I think twice or three times even, whenever he's been in South Africa. He's an old anti-apartheid activist from the 1970s and 80s. He actually grew up in the UK despite his parents, he was born here and his parents had to basically flee because they were such activists against the old National Party government. And he became a government-appointed politician under Tony Blair and Gordon Brown. So he's been in government in the UK. And he's continued to have a very vocal and deep interest in South African politics and affairs. He was here in South Africa last year to testify at the State Capture Commission, and he continues to know a lot more about South Africa than some of the people in South Africa. So he's always good to check in with as well. It's going to be a hell of a show. Make sure you don't miss it tonight on ENCA, 8:30. We'd really like you to be part of it. And let's start making this change by talking to people who matter, like the guests we have today.
That's another song. Make that change.
Make that change. Shimon. Man in the mirror. Okay, I can't believe we just did that. Very, very nice. All right, everybody.
That's what will happen when people don't watch. You and I will be a cover band. We'll have to go out and earn our keep like that.
Listen, if you haven't had enough this morning, we've got Trevor Watkins coming up, an interview we recorded in December of 2018. Very interesting guy, founder of the Individualist Movement. You need to listen to this because he has read Ayn Rand. I always get that wrong. Ayn Rand in the early 1980s. He's become a keen libertarian, has been involved with the movement ever since. This guy believes people should be able to do whatever they desire as long as their actions don't harm others. It's something I think I believe too. If you're going to call me anything, call me a libertarian. And as a result, libertarians want to limit the government's power so people can have as much freedom as possible. Trevor is the founder of the Individualist Movement, and he talked to us to break down what libertarianism means and why he believes in it. Maybe if you listen to this interview, you'll know how to describe your point of view on libertarianism. That's Trevor Watkins coming up next. All right, that's it from us. We will see you tomorrow, bright and early at 6 o'clock, cliffcentral.com. Thank you for being part of the show this morning. Thanks to my guests. Most importantly, thank you.
Cliffcentral.com.